wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. I'll share with us tonight in this brief time we have a very, very important aspect of mourning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If you look at that statement, you find a very strange thing here. You talk about the worlds. That is the world and all its running systems. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So everything that we see today on this earth has a spiritual root. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything in existence today has a common source. And that source is God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That the things that we now see, they do not come out of things. We do appear. So they have a spiritual root. So everything around us on this earth today has a spiritual root. That's why the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. And whatever has a spiritual root must bow to spiritual commands. The manufacturer of any product has automatic authority over that product. And because everything on this earth today, everything in existence has its root in God, has its root in the realm of the spirit. So everything living bows to the command of the spirit. And it's important for us to know that money is not a scientific invention. Money is part and parcel of God's creation. Money is not a product of civilization. Not that money came after men now developed and they now know that they need money. No, money is originally part of God's creation. And I'll prove that very simply. When there was famine, Jacob called his sons and said, I've heard that there is corn in Egypt. Go there and buy. Go and do what? Chapter 42 of Genesis, verse 1, down the line. And when they went and there was, the family went again the more, and he said, take double money in your hand and go and buy. So money was there in Genesis. Now before then, we understand in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2, he said, and Abraham was very rich in silver, cattle, in silver and in gold. So Abraham had money. That was not defined as money then, but then we saw it in chapter 42. It was clearly called money. And in chapter 47, verse 15, we have the first recorded economic depression. And when money failed in Egypt. Say with me, money failure. So money was not just there. It was an active part of the social life of the people. And God said, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. So God did not only create what we call money, God empowers people to get it. So money is not a scientific invention. Money is not a product of civilization. Money is part and parcel of God's creation. So money has a spiritual root. Money has what? Money has a spiritual root. That's why people consult evil spirits for money. And when Jesus needed for them to pay tax, he performed a money miracle. He said, go to the sea, cast an hook, and the first fish that comes out, open the mouth, and you find a coin there, go and pay them. Matthew chapter 17, verse 26 to 28. So money is part and parcel of God's creation. Money has a spiritual root and can, and we always obey spiritual command. I don't know whether that makes sense to you. That's why when you align with the commands of the Spirit, you are in command of whatever is created by the Spirit. When you line up with the demands of the laws of the Spirit, you are supernaturally in command of anything that comes out of the Spirit, and that includes money. He said, prove me now if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing until there be not enough room to contain them. That is, you obey what I said and watch what I do in ensuring your access to supernatural supplies. So supernatural supply is a reality. But it answers only to spiritual commands. When you do whatever he tells you to do, you are in command of the material world. He said, whatever he tells you to do, what do? Do it. Every monetary, material, financial miracle in scriptures, they responded to man's obedience. Everyone. God cannot guarantee supernatural supplies without your obedience to the material demands. It's so simple, it's so real. He was going to feed 5,000, yes? What do you have? That's where every material supplies begins. It begins with you. There is something in your hand that will connect you with what he has in heaven. So until you are able to let go what is in your hand, you are not entitled to what is available in heaven. What you have may not look as that important, but it's a requirement to connect with what he has. So until you let go what you have, you are not entitled to what he has. Now imagine a woman dying. He said, I'm gathering wood to prepare the last meal that both my son and myself will eat and die. And Elijah said, do you really want to die? You are free if you want to. But if you don't want to die, prepare for me first. What a wicked demand. But it is the natural demand for access to supernatural supplies. It is the natural demand or the scriptural demand or the covenant demand for access to supernatural supplies. So until you are able to release what is in your hand, he will never release what he has in stock for you. Money has a spiritual root and we always obey spiritual commands. And you are not in command until you obey what you have been commanded to do. Only those who obey commands become commanders. Only those who obey rules become rulers. At Covenant University, we have a slogan, obeying rule to rule. If you are not obedient to the rules, you are not qualified to be a ruler. So money has a spiritual root, and we always obey spiritual commands. And only those who obey scriptural commands will ever be in command of money. Your church is undoubtedly swimming under supernatural supplies. Your church is a clear proof of the reality of supernatural supplies. And there are many of us sitting down here today whose lives and businesses and careers are direct proofs, obvious proofs, practical proofs of supernatural supplies. And it's not an issue of luck. It is by responding to the scriptural demands that they gain command. Money has a spiritual root. And we always obey spiritual commands. When Jesus came, he painted again to us the spiritual root of money. Now, look at what Paul the Apostle said. He said, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. So, our enrichment is part of his redemption. So redemption, among other things, is packaged for our empowerment for wealth. He became poor so we can be made rich. And John was writing about the virtues of his redemption. And he said, they sang a new song. What is the Lamb that was slain? To receive for us what? Power. And what? Riches. And what? Wisdom. And strength. And glory. And blessings. And honor. Now you see, the sevenfold benefits of redemption listed there in Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. The number two there is riches. So riches is part of our redemption. That gives you an understanding that it has a spiritual root. And we only obey spiritual commands. You don't have to steal to shine. Just obey. He said, if they will obey and serve me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Just obey. Just obey. That songwriter said, But we never can tell the delight of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the love he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It takes operating the law of the Spirit to be free from the law of sin and death. It is operating the law of the Spirit that sets you free and sets me free from the oppression, from the devastation of the law of sin and death. So if you are tired of poverty, just obey the law of the Spirit regarding money, and poverty will leave you alone. I'm aware that no matter how many witches, where your obedience is fulfilled, you will avenge all disobedience. What the devil does is take advantage of our disobedience. Can I hear your amen? Now you should all understand that the devil must be more angry against me than against you. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, because it's me coming down here every day to tell you that Satan is stupid. Satan is a fool. He's a dummy. I curse you, Satan. Now, I mean, he should be more angry with me than he is with you. But why can't he plague me with poverty? Because my obedience will disarm him. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, you will avenge all disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 to 5. He said, though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that when your obedience is fulfilled, you will disarm all disobedience. As long as you do whatever he tells you to do, no matter how many witches are in attendance, God will still do what he wants to do. Mary said to them, look, you lack wine. Just like many in this country lack money. Many in the various churches lack money. Do you lack wine? They say, yeah. Whatever he tells you to do, no matter how stupid it may appear, and no matter how wicked it may sound, do it. The widow of Zarephath, we are told, the cruse of oil did not fail, and the pot of flour never became empty. Just by one obedience, she lived a life of abundance throughout the famine period. With her last meal, she opened up unlimited access to meals. I think it's important for us to recognize that money has a spiritual root. In the same way, because it has a spiritual root, it can be spiritually attacked. It can be what? It can be spiritually attacked. That's why you reinforce your obedience to resist the attack. You reinforce obedience to overcome the attack. In chapter 1 of Zechariah, and verse 14 to 17, we are told about the story of the four horns. And when they say, what are these? They say, these are the horns that have scattered Jerusalem and Judah so that no one could lift up his head. And there are some four carpenters. Who are these? He said, they have come to put together what the horns of the Gentiles have scattered. Horns of the Gentiles. Horn actually represent power. The power of the wicked system has scattered Jerusalem and Judah so that no one could lift up his head. But the carpenters had come to put them together. He said, for my house through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So there, because that's a spiritual root, it can also suffer spiritual attack. And for that reason, you must be spiritually reinforced to overcome the attacks. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Say with me, money has a spiritual root. And we always obey spiritual command. It can also be spiritually attacked. So I have to reinforce my obedience to overcome the attacks. I think this is very important. I've been discussing with you tonight on the spiritual root of money and how to take advantage of it. The spiritual root of money and how to take advantage of it. Whatever it tells you to do, do it, and you'll be chiefly in command of money. Whatever it tells you to do, what do? Do it, and you'll chiefly be in command of money. Let me share this testimony with you. Years ago, at the onset of our ministry, we were going to pay our staff by 2 p.m. So I told the man in charge of finance, I said, 2 p.m. today, you are paying everybody. He said, yes, sir. Because by a spiritual law, we don't say there is no money. Because what you say is what you see. Hello? He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things that you say will come to pass, which are whatsoever you say. But if you say to this mountain, be stronger than I, it will be stronger. Because you shall have whatsoever you say. I wasn't faking it. Hey, Philip, get ready, 2 p.m., pay everybody today. He said, yes, sir. There was no physical cash anywhere. By 1 o'clock, one stranger on a very strange route. Now, if you are leaving Enugu and going to the north, you don't have to come through Ilorin. Do you have to? So he traveled around and said, just to see how things are going, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, we are fine, everything is great. And then when he was leaving, he dropped a seed that covered all the payment. Many of you, the miracle is just close to your door, you speak it away. You call him and say, hey, we can't pay anybody today. You also know what's on ground, so we can't pay nobody. Now, many people's account in heaven is so heavy, and their suffering on earth is so disgusting. Because when the miracle is needed, they talk it off. The thing disappears and goes about 1,000 kilometers from them. Spiritual laws go beyond just giving. Giving is fundamental, but there are other laws that help your giving to deliver maximally in the hour of need. Money has a spiritual root, and we always obey spiritual commands. People who are close to our operation know that we are operating on spiritual keys to command supernatural supplies in getting done the same thing that is happening here. We have seen hundreds of millions answer in 3 weeks without an announcement in church to get certain things done. It's time to take advantage of the anointing of favor on your life, coupled with your renewed obedience to the spiritual laws, to open your heaven. I can tell you, money answers to spiritual commands. We are all witnesses in our organization here that money answers to spiritual commands, not to religious gimmicks. Answers to spiritual commands. That is what money is. That is the history of money. No, we started by trade by barter. We now grew, and when they could not carry their luggage again, they now started nonsense. Money has been there longest time before your trade by barter theology came. Money has always been there. He said, I am the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. He said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. So the silver is God's, and the gold is his. And he gives power for men to acquire them. Somebody's story is changing right now. You know, people labor a lot to get money. The Bible said, except the Lord builds the house, what happens? They labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord watches over the city. One pastor came to me to share his testimony years ago. He said he's been in America for 6 months, and God so blessed him, and he had 60,000 offering. How much? $60,000 offering for 6 months, one whole man. And to him, that is a great, great thing. Because that's how much he knows. But when God opens the heavens, it's not in thousands. It may start like in kobos. Before you know what is happening, it will grow into nairas. And from nairas, it will grow into hundreds of it. And from hundreds of it to thousands of it. And from thousands to millions of it. It will keep growing when you keep obeying. It's so important. God is opening a new chapter to someone here. So economic depression is not new. In the midst of that depression, Jacob had double money. Come and say double money. He had double money. He said, take double money as we are going. In the midst of depression, no matter the heat on this earth, obedience will exempt you. You know what the Bible says to the obedient? Is that then shall ye return. And the sum between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. He said, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and the sum between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So when you understand how to serve God, not only with your song and with your dancing, but with your substance and your material resources, then God will distinguish you in the day of trouble. Men will come and say, oh yeah, he's among them that are serving the Lord. It will make a clear distinction between you and those who are playing ordinary religion. That's what God does. Money has a spiritual root. Say with me, money has a spiritual root. And it answers to spiritual commands. Money has a spiritual root. And it answers to spiritual command. In closing, there was a widow that had two sons. The husband happened to be a prophet, so you can be a prophet and still be poor. Hello? One can be a prophet and still be what? Poor. And you know there are many poor prophets in town, true of us. Most of them with long robes and long rod. And with a begging profession. That has spiritual or scriptural connotations, and pray long, long prayers. And many careless Christians are victims. They pray over them and help them to see their future. And they paint for them a future of dread and threats. You have three children? Between three and four, Abby? You see, the devil has planned to kill two of them in May. But if I pray for you, 21 days fasting, it will be averted. But that 21 days, you know, it's a contract. 1 day fasting equals 5,000. Or do you want your child to die? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, modern day prophets in court don't wear long dresses because they know you may not accept them. So they come in suit like your pastors in your church. They come in heavy suit and they say, the Lord bless you. Say, yes. The Lord was speaking to me last night as I was praying that you need to watch it. God is on the throne. You need to watch it. Amen. Praise God. And because of immaturity, that is you shivering. Until they put a hook in your nose and drag you up. Many years ago, 1982, I was going to the mountain to pray. And I saw one old prophet and some soldiers. You know, anybody can be stupid. That place was near a barrack. A lot of soldiers lined up for their turn, for prophecy. You know what I'm talking about? So I was going to the mountain. I was very angry. I walked up to the old man. I said, "Stand up! Stand up, you devil, and get out of here." All the clients were shivering. What kind of boy is this? "Stand up!" He said, "What did I do?" I said, "What didn't you do? Cheating people and robbing them? Stand up from here!" So I commanded them to stand up and chase him from the mountain until he came down this. I took over the mountain. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the clients disappeared one by one. God, you have seen a greater prophet who has chased away the fake one. And I told them, "All of you, go back to your house now. You need to be born again." Amen. Praise the Lord. Those who do know their God, what happens? Money has a spiritual root, and it will always obey spiritual commands. Rise to your feet. Praise the Lord. Your prayer can't disarm the opposition. It is your obedience. So if you like, pray from now till forever. It is only your obedience that can disarm the opposition. That prophet died as a debtor. He was so addicted to borrowing that he used his two sons as collateral. And after the man died, the creditor came and said, whether the man died or not, the agreement is that if he couldn't pay, we should take his sons. So the wife ran to a genuine prophet. Come and say, genuine prophet. That prophet was a debtor. You know, there are many prophets who are debtors now. They are indebted to the nose. They can't even breathe properly anymore. How can a debtor pray for you to enter prosperity? Difficult. What you don't have, you can't give. That prophet was indebted, and he died by reason of the weight of the debt, I believe. I believe the weight of indebtedness killed him. You don't have to be a debtor. Somebody already paid the price for your prosperity. That's why you need a spiritual reorientation in the area of money. Lift up your two hands and take grace from God for a new spiritual approach to the issue of money. Receive grace for enhanced obedience that will disarm all disobedience in your life. Lift up those two hands and pray that prayer for yourself. Money has a spiritual root and will always obey spiritual commands. Receive grace to walk in higher dimension of obedience to the covenant demands of supernatural supplies. In Jesus' precious name. Your access to supplies is tied to what you have in your house. He said to that woman, what hast thou in thy house? You are indebted, but your liberty is tied to something in your house. Until you can locate that thing, the supplies will never come. What hast thou in the house? When Jesus was going to supply food for 5,000, he said, what do you have? They said, oh, just 5 loaves and two. He said, bring it, because if you bring what you have, you can't have what I have. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. What hast thou in thy house? Your story is pathetic, but without something in your house, your pathetic story won't change your story. He said, thy servant, my husband, is dead. He said, here, what hast thou in the house? The two sons are now to be taken away as collaterals. It's pathetic, but what do you have in your house? Until you locate what is in your house to which your miracle is tied, it remains a struggle. Only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They bring them. Father, I thank you. Here is what they have. Give us what you have. Did they come or not? Something strange is coming your way this time. I'd like you to leave here tonight to know that what you need is tied to what you already have. So if you do the right thing with what you have, you never get what you need come. It's the law. You need wine, say yes. Feed the place with water, because I know you have water. Bring your water here. And when they brought their water, he said, take it. That's what you need. Is inside what you already have. Take it now and give it to the chairman of the occasion. And it was sweeter wine than the one they bought with their money. There is something in your house. It's the only way to go through the famine that is hitting the world right now. Do the right thing with it. I'm sure you all heard me. God will never need you or me for anything, but we need him for how many? For everything. When you understand that, then you know that nobody is speaking at your pocket or at your purse or at your bags. We are speaking to your destiny. What have you in thy house? What you need from me is tied to what you already have in your hand. Wake up and do something right with it. You have made a vow of 1,000. And you have seen 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 once a while in the course of the year. But it hasn't occurred to you, it's time to pay. And then, oh God, this new job opening for me. He said, oh boy, you better wake up and reason. As you partake of this today, obedience will become your delight. From this communion table today, obedience becomes your delight. Obedience to spiritual laws becomes your delight. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your two hands to heaven and demand whatever is your desire before the Lord right now. Lift up those two hands and demand whatever is your desire in the name of Jesus. The sick shall be healed. Every oppression of the wicked one shall be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I pray in the name of Jesus that unusual grace will flow from this table to you today, that will make you take delight in spiritual laws so you can gain practical command of everything that has its root in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. I decree that this time you will gain command finally over finances. Everyone that is caught sick at the instance of taking this communion, I declare your total liberty in the name of Jesus. Everyone oppressed by the devil I command your freedom in the name of Jesus. Whatever is not planted by God that is growing in your system, I command them uprooted tonight in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 216-88, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670.